Welcome to Flashback Episode 7, and joining me once again, and as usual, we have Troy and Josh.
Yo!
Hello.
And today we bring you a blast from the past, a insane race to the finish. We have Wacky Races, which is an enjoyable show. I grew up watching this on repeats on Cartoon Network, and I don't know if any of you have ever played the Dreamcast game.
Own it.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's like what happened if Mario Kart became a cartoon series.
Yeah, pretty much. You had weapons and stuff.
And everybody has, like, their custom vehicles. Yeah. So I guess it's more like what would Mario Kart Double Dash be if you turned it into a TV show.
Sounds good.
So we're going to check out Wacky Races. It says episode 4, but I don't really know what that means. It could be fourth episode or, you know, an episode from whatever, but it's called Beat the Clock to the Rock, and we'll check back with you after we're finished, so we'll see you on the other side.
And now here they are, the most daredevil group of daddy drivers to ever whirl their wheels in the wacky races, competing for the title of the world's wackiest racer. The cars are approaching the starting line. First is the Turbo Terrific, driven by Peter Perfect. Next, Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon. Maneuvering for position is the Army Surplus Special. Right behind is the Ant Hill Mob in their bulletproof bomb. And there's ingenious inventor Pat Pendy in his converter car. Oh, and here's the lovely Penelope Pitstop, the glamour gal of the gas pedal. Next, we have the Bowlermobile with the Slag Brothers, Rock and Gravel. Lurching along is the Creepy Coupe with the Gruesome Twosome. And right on their tail is the Red Max. And there's the Arkansas Chugabug with Luke and Blubber Bear. Sneaking along last is that mean machine with those double-dealing do-batters, Dick Dastardly and his sidekick, Muttley. And even now, they're up to some dirty trick, and they're off to a standing start. And why not? They've been chained to a post by Shifty Dick Dastardly, who shifts into the wrong gear. And away they go on the way out wacky races.
The end. Cool.
Yes, indeed. And that was Wacky Races. Race Beat the Clock to the Rock. So, initial thoughts on that episode, either one of you?
That was awesome. I've never seen or heard of this show before. I know. It's crazy. But,
it's wacky.
It's wacky. But I loved it. I thought it was so wicked. I thought, this is so creative and like, but like you said, Earl, I can see how it would get kind of old and, I guess, repetitive, being like almost
formulaic.
Yes, formulaic.
It's not even so much that it's formulaic. I mean, I can understand that it's just kind of a one-trick pony because it's not like it really deviates. Like you'll get different locations and stuff, but the fact is, it's still. It's just a race show, and
yeah.
It's not like there's any, like, you know, like
it's
most
not
shows,
like Speed,
you know,
Racer or something where
yeah.
there's actual character development.
Yeah. It's not like you get much action outside of the cars or anything like that. Especially being that there's so many characters to focus on.
I like the variety of the characters.
Yes.
They're quite different.
And they're. Yes, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
That's all I was saying, is everybody's different. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They all have, like, their, personality and everything.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it kind of comes through in the vehicles, but, I mean, that's one thing you do get. Like, this episode kind of, I mean, granted, every episode seems to focus on Dick Dastardly, so you always kind of get him, but he's, like, a one-trick villain.
Yeah.
But, in this episode, we kind of had to focus on the Arkansas Chugabug. I can't remember the driver's name, but the guy who had the bear.
Arkansas Chugabug.
You get a focus on him, and then you had some moments with, like, the Penelope Pitstop and the mobster brothers.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, for the most part, everybody else kind of was in the background, and they just kind of, like, there were some that we didn't even, like, we saw them, and we didn't hear much about them.
Yeah, like the tank one or whatever.
Yeah.
And the dude in the long...
penis.
The penis car.
Yeah, there's no way around it.
I think
it's a
his
giant
name is Peter Perfect.
Well, not surprising
go.
With that phallic object. And then there was, like, you know, the, what is it, Professor Pat and Penny.
That guy was awesome. I love that guy.
Crazy scientist.
Yeah. I just love his car.
So, yeah, there's a ton of personality, which is one of the things that comes through well in the games. And, you know, each vehicle is unique and has a life of its own, which is what makes the show so fun. Is that, and it follows cartoon logic, which is something that, as we mentioned before, you don't see often anymore.
No, you don't.
Like there's a scene where he hides behind a cactus and his car hides
behind. I love that. And I love the little dog's laugh. It's hilarious.
Or the fact that he was able to aim a geyser.
Yeah.
Not only was he able to aim a geyser, but the geyser was able to shoot the car in the direction it was being aimed at instead of the car coming crashing down.
And they could just paint over it, and all of a sudden it's unnoticeable to anybody.
And they did it in such quick fashion.
Yeah.
Or the fact that somebody was able to tie a gas hose to a tree and use it as a slingshot.
Yeah.
They weren't able to use it. They use it to win the race.
Yeah. But that's what makes it so great. That's why I love these kind of cartoons, because you don't see that anymore. That crazy,
unexpected,
unrealistic, unexpected things.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that if something like this was to come back, I would imagine it would be, you know, they'd make it serious in tone. I don't know if any of you have seen the Thundercats, the new Thundercats trilogy.
Oh, yeah. I haven't.
Dude, watch it.
I am going to. I plan on it.
But yeah, it makes the show, and I understand why, because they have to, you know, it tests itself to a certain audience, but it seems so much more sophisticated, I guess, than the original Thundercats. And I was just thinking, because this is something else you don't see often, or you don't see something that can be pulled off as well, is what the repeated villain of the week. Like, you know, every week they kind of fought Mumra, and Mumra was never a threat. But nowadays you kind of expect that, like, if somebody's there, that they win at some point.
Well, same thing with Turtles and, like, Shredder.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, they had to have a bad guy.
Yeah, but if you watch, like, the new Turtles, Shredder actually is, like, a villain who progresses through the series to the fact that they actually do kill him off during the first season.
Right.
But he keeps on coming back. But, you know, you can't have
not in the old original one.
Yeah, if it's an original one, you could have Shredder there for 8 seasons, and he would have, like, a product of the week, and he'd fail.
What the devil?
And you'd be okay with that. But nowadays, most shows kind of avoid that, and I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with Mumra. Because is he going to make this huge threat? Because I can't see him coming back, like, every so often.
Yeah.
But,
I think they'll take that kind of route with Mumra.
As I was saying, I would love to see Wacky Races return in some form. They have a ton of interesting characters. As a matter of fact, we didn't watch this, but actually Penelope Pitstop does have her own spinoff show.
Oh.
The Perils of Penelope Pitstop, which aired, and I think it has Peter Perfect in it.
Probably, because he was always, like, hitting on her and stuff in the old...
Yeah, uh-huh. I think that's the point. And then Dick Dastardly, Sam the Evil.
Yeah.
Peter Perfect thought he was super pimp, man.
Yeah, he's, like, the main protagonist. And so, yeah, there's that. So, I mean, granted, from this episode, it would be hard to see why she's the breakout character.
Yeah,
but
that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't, but, you know, at the time, even now, you don't see many female-driven cartoons. So it made sense that, you know.
Yeah.
And granted, that also falls into the same trap where basically it was a formula that they stuck to week after week. I mean, granted, you're a bit more versatile when it involves that than, you know, races, but...
I wouldn't buy a DVD, though, because then you're tempted to watch them all at once and it's all the same.
That's been a kind of get-o. And, we haven't mentioned it, and this isn't something you see often in any type of medium, but we have a consistent narrator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. Like, the announcer? Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it fits the theme, because it's a racing thing, so it makes sense to have a narrator, but you don't really see that in any type of medium,
yeah.
I mean, other than sports and stuff, where you have an announcer who speaks throughout the entire episode and gives you updates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It seems that I would hold up.
that was kind of a cool touch.
Yeah. I liked when that one scene where that car with all the little midgets or whatever.
Mafia midgets.
Yeah.
The anthill mob.
There was that one scene where, like, the driver was looked like he was gripping a wheel, but he actually wasn't even touching the wheel. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was like, they screwed up.
That reminds me, at the beginning, when we first opened up, you pissed off. Like, she's driving, and you can tell that the car itself isn't being animated in motion.
Yeah, it's like bumping up and down.
Yeah, so it's just like making movement, but the background's moving and not the car itself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I understand it's from the 60s,
yeah, typical 60s,
so animation budget wasn't that high, but or to repeat in backgrounds.
Yeah.
The repeating background isn't too noticeable unless you're, like, really paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, I think I guess I've always noticed it because, like, even in the Flintstones, it's always in driving scenes that I notice it because you kind of see the same landmarks because they try to make it distinct, but you always kind of see, like, the same rocks and tree formations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after, like, the 10th time around, it kind of gets annoying.
Yeah.
So it is. Dead.
It does kind of annoying.
But I guess final thoughts on Wacky Races.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was such a cool, creative kind of cartoon. And I totally recommend it to anyone who's just feels like not watching it like regularly, but like if you want to watch it like once in a while so it doesn't get old or anything. Yeah. Wicked.
I pretty much agree. I mean, I was just gonna say that, you know, it's good in short spurts, but yeah, like Troy said, don't watch the whole thing at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I can echo that sentiment. I love Wacky Races when I was growing up, but when you know, it's on Cartoon Network, I see it like once a week.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's great. But if you were to sit down and have me watch a marathon, like, I couldn't watch the next episode right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably could, but I wouldn't feel anything super special about that. So, I mean, I think that should do it for episode 7.
Yep.
Yep.
So for Troy, Josh, and myself, this has been Wacky Races.